Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the Amber Alert, once again, doing a great job. Margaret Gray is on the line with us. Margaret, you there?
I'm right here, Phil.
All right. The news that we have, if you heard earlier today, a little girl in Riverside by the name of Nicole Taylor Timmons, according to police, disappeared sometime before 7 a.m. this morning when her mother found her missing from her bedroom in Riverside, California. Now, a police spokesman, Lieutenant John Wallace, said police had information that made them believe her disappearance was more than a walk away and that some sort of foul play or abduction was involved.
That's correct, yes.
All right, now, one of the other officers said authorities received hundreds of calls after the two-state alert was issued. This is the Amber Alert, and the Amber Alert is a nationwide broadcast, an emergency response broadcast nationwide. It's a voluntary partnership between law enforcement agencies and broadcasters to activate an urgent bulletin in the most serious child abduction cases. It's been used a couple of times this month and has been used at least on two occasions successfully. This is one of them. Now, the little girl's mother realized her daughter was missing around 7 a.m. The alert was issued a few hours later. From the beginning, police said they wanted to question two men. One of them was Nicole's father, Ralph Timmons, and a guy by the name of Glenn Park, who was a babysitter, and he was said to be driving an 82 Dodge pickup. The police would not discuss the nature of the relationship between Park and Nicole's mother. When asked whether the two were involved in a relationship, the police said, "We are not ready to discuss that information at this time." But what happened was the Nevada Highway Patrol rescued. Now they're saying most recently that it was Indian tribal police. It was on an Indian reservation that took this man into custody. But they're giving credit here to the Nevada Highway Patrol rescuing the little girl, and they arrested this guy, Glenn Park, who was a babysitter and a family friend who used to live in the Riverside area. She was found with Park after his truck was stopped on U.S. 95 near Hawthorne, about 130 miles southeast of Reno, Nevada. He was taken to the Mineral County Jail in Hawthorne, Nevada, and it's not clear what charges would be filed against him. So this kid is absolutely safe.
And that was the Amber Alert that did that too, Phil. And I think it's very important for people to understand it's a wonderful, wonderful partnership, as you mentioned, between broadcasters. The thing that concerns me, though, is parents such as myself who are interested in the pre-Amber Alert. The pre-Amber Alert is the next level. We take it to the next level. This is where we are able to send out the pictures and vital statistics of children who are high-risk abduction cases.
Now, are you saying kids that have not yet been...
Not yet been abducted, that's right.
So that's why you call it a pre-Amber Alert?
That is why we're calling it that. And when you are the mother of a son like mine, Jason J. Delmonico, he is a young man, he is a sought-after child actor, he is a beautiful young boy, he is blonde, he has blue eyes. He's very, very unique in that he is very intelligent. He has what we call the five L's, and that is looks, learning. I don't have all of them with me. Oh, the five L's, extraordinary. Looks, leadership ability, learning, lots of potential for income, and lots of talent. These are the children that are at risk for the pre-Amber Alert. And I say this, Phil... And again, this is only for high-risk children. And I say this, Phil...
Well, I don't know what you mean by high-risk.
Well, what I mean by high-risk are children who would be most likely to be abducted. Not really the most likely to be abducted, but the ones, if they were abducted, if, would constitute a very, very serious crime because they are unique. And I'm not saying more valuable, but unique. And I say this, Phil, as a mother with great love in my heart, but my boy is a beautiful little blonde 9-year-old. He has blonde hair, beautiful blue eyes, and you know the sick animals that are out there that would victimize children. And I say this with great love in my heart, but my little boy has a very cute ass. And the reason why I say that is because this is why these sick animals... And
well, we don't need to go there. Now you...
No, but this is how these sick animals operate.
All right, you believe your son should have a pre... So another, let's get the information about your son out there now before he's abducted.
That's right. We need to get out information about certain children before they're kidnapped, because if they're kidnapped, we got ourselves a problem. Houston, we've got a problem. Now, Jason J. Delmonico, and I have his vitals filled. Did you get the facts?
I have the facts here.
So I would appreciate if you'd read that on the air to let people know.
Well, before I do that, I want to give her phone number, 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that some children are so valuable? How many kids would you say in this country are entitled to a pre-Amber Alert, meaning even before they're abducted, their faces and their vital statistics get out there because their abduction would be a serious thing?
No more than probably, I think it's a significant number, but no more than 63 or 65.
65 kids in the entire United States deserve a pre-Amber Alert.
Yes.
All right. I have the statistics on your son, Jason J. Delmonico. He went to Montessori kindergarten. He was chosen on the Disney cruise to go on the bridge to meet the captain. He's the only child on the entire ship to do so.
That is correct.
He has a 3.0 grade point average. He has met Colin Hanks.
And that is Tom Hanks' son.
All right, I understand that. He's also met Jake Kasdan. Who? Is that?
That's Lawrence Kasdan's son.
All right. In fact, it was Jake Kasdan who said Jason J. may very well be the next Leo DiCaprio.
The next Leo DiCaprio. I think that's significant. And I think that's really what we're talking about. All right, and there's more.
All right, now, you know who it is. Okay, by the way, Colin Hanks and Jake Kasdan are two of the 60. So they are two of the kids?
Yes. Colin Hanks, Jake Kasdan, Jason J. Delmonico, Haley Joel Osment, there are a number of them that I think warrant a pre-Amber Alert. Get their names, get their faces out there so that we can begin to protect these children before they're abducted.
All right. I will grant you that your son is a special kid. What about all the other children? Just because they don't have the five L's, are they not worthy to be saved from an abductor?
No, I'm not saying that at all, Phil, and I'm very saddened that you would read it that way. All children are precious, and we should do all we can to find them if abducted. But what I'm saying is these 63 children, we should do all we can before they get abducted. So do all you can after the other ones get abducted. Do all you can for these 63 children before they're abducted. And if any of these 63 go missing, then we have got a very real and serious problem. And I think people such as yourself, Mr. Henry, could be held culpable.
Because I'm a broadcaster.
Yes.
Well, there's no official pre-Amber Alert that I know of. 1-800-449-8686. Christine, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi. I just am calling to let her know that every child is a gift from God.
Absolutely.
And no, God does not put anybody's worth above anybody else's. He would choose anybody the same. You are in no right to say that your child or these 63 other children are above anybody else's.
I'm simply saying let's get their faces and names out there before they're abducted.
But how do you know? Why would somebody target your child above Samantha Runyon? She was an everyday American child. All of these children are everyday American children. I have not seen anything that this
high-profile
child.
Right. I will tell you why, Christine. The five L's: looks, leadership, learning.
That has nothing to do with it.
And lots of
talent. Has nothing to do with it. You can have a positively brilliant child that is not attractive. That makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Yes, it does make sense, because there are certain children that, if we lose those children, it literally alters the course of civilization.
Oh, come on. I mean, your son...
Phil, again, my boy is very attractive.
And my baby is attractive
as well.
All
right. I'm sure that she is, but is she bright? Is she particularly bright?
Yes, she is. She's 10 months old.
All right.
Okay, I don't know how well she's going to do in school,
right.
But
I already know how well my son does in school. He has a
3.0. That is great. But
now,
you know what? He could turn into a teenager and go completely the different way than you want him to go.
Does your baby do this kind of thing? Does she play with her food?
Yes. You know what?
All
I'm
right.
not going to compare my child to yours.
That's a sign of, and I want to be kind, but it's a sign of a little
child,
bit of a
right?
dim, just a kind of a dim bulb. You know what I mean by a dim bulb?
Children play with their food.
Jason J. Delmonico didn't.
Well, you know what? You may not think that I'm much of a success, Margaret, but I'm sure I played with my food. In fact, to this day, I still play with my food.
You know, Phil, you're very funny, and it's the reason why I love your program, but I'd like you to remain serious.
I'm being serious.
If we lost one of these 63, the world could be thrust into an ice age. Now, Tammy, I want you to, or is it Christine? I'm sorry. Christine?
Yes?
Yeah, I want you to consider this.
You know what I consider? I consider that you are a quack. I consider that you love your child a lot.
Your kid is the
you
one that plays with his food, not mine.
You cannot place him over anyone else.
Did your child ever take dew out of her diaper and throw it on the wall?
You know what? I am not sharing my child.
Is?
You know what? She has never done that. No, she has never done that.
I mean,
I'm not comparing my child to yours, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for not comparing your child to mine, because as you know, it...
Oh, yes. He is so much better. Do you know that nobody is better than anybody else?
My son is blonde, blue-eyed, and I say this with great love, but there's sick bastards out there. He's got a great little butt on him.
And that's disgusting that you look at your child's butt in that way.
I have to. I have to protect my son.
That is not protecting your son by looking at his butt and saying, oh, he has a nice butt. What is next? Are you going to say, he has a very large penis?
I have to understand why one of these animals would come after him. Now, if we lose one of these 63, we may never find a cure for cancer. Are you willing to take that risk?
Oh, what are you talking about?
Phil, I'll tell you something right now. My hand to God, if my son is abducted and he's lost forever because you didn't want to read his vital statistics on the air, I will find you and I will kill you using whatever implement I can get my hands on. That's how strongly I feel about it.
Well, now you've threatened my life.
That's a nice threat.
Yeah, now you've threatened my life on the air for everybody to hear. Christine? Yeah, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. He's got a nice butt. Margaret Gray is with us. We were talking, thank God, about the Amber Alert saving this little girl, Nicole Taylor Timmons, today. Amber Alert works. Now Margaret wants a pre-Amber Alert, meaning certain children get their pictures and their statistics out there even before they're abducted, because if they're abducted, their intelligence, potential intelligence as adults, could shift the future of civilization. And she numbers one of her kids among them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
With Margaret Gray. Margaret, your idea is a pre-Amber Alert for certain kids who are so valuable to this society and are so special that their names and their vital statistics get broadcast before they're abducted.
That's basically it, yes.
And yet you also say that other kids will only get their vital statistics out there after they're abducted.
I think there needs to be a line drawn, Phil, and I don't think it's a very big line.
But it does say that some kids are more special than others. 1-800-449-8686. Tammy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Mrs. Ray, aren't you afraid that when you have people cry wolf, in a sense, you might desensitize people to what the true Amber Alert was really designed to do?
No, I'm not sure I know what you mean. In other words, if we put the names of these children out in public...
No, what I'm saying, ma'am, is that what you're suggesting... You are suggesting that you put out a pre-Amber Alert on children that might be susceptible to this?
Yes, yes.
Okay, now aren't you afraid that, in a sense, when you cry wolf like that, you would be
desensitized
to the general public when a true Amber Alert is needed?
It's not crying wolf. What it's basically saying, for instance, we have high security around...
No, it certainly is.
We have high security around bridges.
That would be irresponsible.
Now, please, allow me to finish. We have high security around bridges and nuclear power plants. Why not put high security around the more valuable children that we have?
You know what? Earlier you said they weren't more valuable. You said they were unique.
Well, they're unique, yes. That's a better word. I'm sorry. But why shouldn't we put
your child is no better than others, ma'am. I am not a parent myself, but I am so angered by your comments. They are just irresponsible.
To suggest
that a pre-Amber Alert is needed. You know, do your job as a parent.
Did you hear the statistics?
In your community and such a crazy thing isn't needed.
Did you hear the statistics on my son?
I really don't care about the statistics.
Went to Montessori kindergarten.
For all the cute butt that your child has, and I can't believe you would use such terms.
That is absolutely.
You know something? I'm a mother.
Amazing.
Don't you go there. Don't you dare go there. I'm his mother.
You know what,
and
ma'am?
There's a lot of
loving mothers in this world out there.
If we don't save the 63 special children, Castro could rise out of Cuba.
You know what? You're nuts, ma'am.
I see. So in other words, saving children makes me nuts. Boy, you really have your priorities.
No, ma'am, I'm all for saving children.
We have two, three children.
And that's exactly
what they are not saved. We could have the moon spinning out of its orbit, hitting the Earth. Now, scientists have said this is possible.
You can't preordain history.
And the Earth could crash into the sun.
Who do you think you are?
Wait a minute. You're telling me that if we don't save these 63 kids, the moon leaves its orbit, hits the Earth, and we crash into the sun?
And there are scientists who will tell you it's possible.
About what?
About the 63 children.
Ma'am, you know, those 63 children have loving, caring parents. And they can take care of them and participate with authorities to take care of them.
All right, tell
but
me,
you know
listen
what?
To this. Tell
don't
me, listen
desensitize
to this.
The general public
number one.
When it's truly needed, when a child is abducted.
Number one, he went to Montessori kindergarten. He was chosen to go on the Disney cruise, to go on the bridge.
That's
to
really nice,
Kansas.
And I'm happy for
He's
you.
He's the only child on the entire ship to do so. He has a 3.0 grade average.
You know, ma'am, when I first stumbled across the station, I thought you were a joke.
He has met Jake Kasdan.
I thought this was a station prank.
Right, it's a prank to save children. You know what you need to do? Get married, have children, you'll understand. Because
ma'am, I understand. You're so out there. You're so off the wall.
Might as well, if you don't agree with the pre-Amber Alert, you might as well suck every child from their mother's womb for the next 20 years.
Get a life, ma'am. Get a life.
I've got a son and a husband. I have a life. How about you?
Well, I certainly don't need a son and a husband to make my life complete. However,
all right, okay. The bowling league is Wednesday night. Then what else do you do?
All right, now you're being just a smartass because the lady is beating you point by point in her argument.
How do you figure she's beating me point by point?
She said you're making some crackpot things about, what do you mean your kid was chosen to go on the bridge at the Disney cruise?
That was a very...
I don't even think that point is relevant to the subject at hand, ma'am.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And
you're talking about the Amber Alert. It's a serious issue, and it's not a joke.
It is very serious, and thank God the Amber Alert saved that child. Why not save children before they're abducted? That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's kooky. Thanks for your call, Tammy.
That applies for children when they're abducted.
All right.
Sir, I really have to go.
Thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. It's a pretty far-out idea. I recognize that you're saying that we should protect bridges from terrorist attack and we need to protect our nuclear power plants from terrorist attack. That's one thing. There's no way you can protect every kid in America.
I'm not talking about every kid in America, Phil. I'm talking about 63 very special children. I'm talking about children who someday could find a cure for cancer, someday could help save the planet Earth from the moon leaving its orbit. I'm talking about...
Well, these are all scientific things. So far, you've only mentioned Jake Kasdan, Colin Hanks, and your kid.
I'm talking about my child was at a Montessori kindergarten.
All right, I'm not familiar.
All right, let me tell you. Montessori is the most brilliant school that has ever been invented, and you only get in if your child is brilliant. My child got into Montessori. And the fact of the matter is... People have questioned me saying that my boy has a cute little rear end. What do you think these sick creeps out there are thinking?
Please don't talk any more about your kid that way, all right?
I'm a mother, Phil, and...
I know you're a mother, and I know that Jason J. Delmonico has a 3-0 and that he met Lawrence Kasdan's son.
And Colin Hanks.
1-800-449-8686 is the number. Margaret Gray is with us, freelance journalist who... very much supports the Amber Alert, believes in something called a pre-Amber Alert. Certain special children, and she says there's 63 of them in this country, should be protected by having their names and their vital statistics put out before any possible abductions so that they don't get abducted, and in so doing, we protect our future, and the moon won't crash into the Earth, and it won't go into the sun. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
With Margaret Gray, we're talking about her idea for a pre-Amber Alert.
And by the way, Phil, I'm at the Shangri-La restaurant in Malibu. and I'm in the kitchen, and this evening they'll be opening their doors for the first time. They've got a marvelous bruschetta, beautiful starter, lots of garlic, lots of basil, lots of tomato and olive oil, and my breath, and I love garlic, and I'm afraid my breath is pretty bad right now, but I just love what they're doing here at...
What is it? The Chez Angrelat.
Chez Angrelat restaurant in Malibu. Absolutely wonderful. The pre-Amber Alert, Phil, would be done for, as I mentioned, children that are special. We would use this sound on television and radio broadcasts with the following announcement. Attention! Attention! This is a pre-Amber Alert! Then we'd go into the description. Jason J. Delmonico, age 9. He is 4 feet 3, 98 pounds. He is unusually handsome and talented. He has beautiful teeth. His favorite color is cranberry. His likes in a girl are honesty and a sense of humor and pretty eyes. His dislikes in a girl, tomboyishness, butchness, and the fact that they will show off in athletics. His favorite food, the hamburgers at Johnny Rockets. His least favorite food, radishes. Favorite band, 98 Degrees. Favorite actor, Freddie Prinze Jr.
And that's the pre-Amber Alert.
Yes.
Look, Margaret, I don't know how this is going to help.
Just read it, for God, Christ's sake.
I don't like your language either.
Attention!
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me get to, is it Jandy?
Yes,
Jandy. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to know how she plans on protecting these children if she's got them out there and people see them. To me, that just makes them, you know, obvious to the abductor. These are the children you're going to be abducting.
Oh,
here they are. How do you plan on protecting them?
They wouldn't try it. They wouldn't try it in a million years. They know those children are being looked at very carefully. They wouldn't go near them.
I don't see how that can be. Because, I mean, how can you say they're the special children? Every child out there is special. They have something special about them. Or what their grade point average is.
I agree with that. Did you go to Montessori?
Do what?
Did you go to Montessori?
No, I did not.
All right. In order to go to Montessori, you have to be a brain surgeon. My little boy and many of these children went to Montessori.
What is Montessori? Is that?
It's a kind of school.
All right. I don't know anything about it. But if you say...
Absolutely. You have to be a rocket scientist to get in. It's really interesting.
And not only that, I mean, you say your child is so smart. Your child could be out there trying to save the Earth from the moon hitting it. But you know what? That person who's standing beside them, helping them along the way with the study, is probably the one who didn't go to Montessori school. And it's just
I don't doubt that we miss a few. I don't doubt that some...
You miss a few? You miss a lot.
Some may, unfortunately, slip through the cracks. But what I am saying is this. Right now, scientists tell us between now and the year 3000, there is a 1 in 6 chance that the moon can hit the Earth. What do we do if we...
Are you telling me that you're worried about that?
Oh, I see, Phil. So you don't worry about future generations.
The moon hits the Earth and the Earth crashes into the sun.
Well, I worry about... If we lose one of the 63, Satan could defeat Jesus.
Now, she's more worried about her son's butt.
Now, do you think it's funny?
Do we think what's funny?
That Satan could defeat Jesus in the rapture?
Ain't gonna happen. You ain't read your Bible, have you?
I don't hear either one of you commenting on that.
Oh, I see. So if we make sure that Jason J. Delmonico is safe, Satan won't defeat Jesus. I don't understand. I do understand from the standpoint that we need to keep the very special children among us obviously well-tutored and encouraged, but every child needs to encouragement, and certainly every child is deserving of safety.
And that's why we have an Amber Alert, Phil.
Well, then if we're going to do a pre-Amber Alert, let's get every name and face of every child out there.
It's not possible. Would you two be practical instead of being so working-class hero about this? Be practical. If we can't say
we're doing pre-Amber Alerts with the ID stuff. Have you not seen that when the police come out to the mall?
If we can't save them all, let's save a few. Did you ever see a film called, I think it was called When Worlds Collide? The Earth is threatened, and so they only put a few of the most intelligent on a spaceship to send it to another planet. Don't you agree with that?
You need to come out of Hollywood, sweetheart.
What the hell? What?
It was called When Worlds Collide.
First we got the moon hitting the Earth, now we got When Worlds Collide.
Yeah. You know what? Neither one of you went to Montessori. That's why you're both stupid.
Oh, okay. Well.
She finds it funny. I don't think it's funny when we're talking about the future. It happened on The Simpsons, too.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for your call. Sue, you're on The Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. I can't believe how ridiculous this woman is. I think she ought to get her child and the other 62 and form their own little Aryan nation, and they can protect their children and start their own little society.
Do you believe in protecting
something.
Children?
This woman is just obnoxious.
Do you believe in
this
protecting?
This woman is so obnoxiously ridiculous. I can't believe an actual person would think this way unless
they're
smoking crack.
Do you believe in protecting
Honey,
children?
What are you smoking or what kind of
well,
LSD are you doing?
If you don't like
because
protecting children.
Because you are absolute Montessori
so
if they have the money
language.
To do it.
Watch your language, Sue.
Yeah, listen to the mouth
Anybody
on you.
Anybody can go to Montessori if they have the money to pay for it. You
no.
don't have to be a rocket scientist.
No, that's bull.
You have to have the money.
That is bull because you have to be very intelligent to get
no,
into Montessori.
No, you don't. You obviously don't understand what Montessori schools
Montessori
are.
Is a special educational system
no,
where
it
only
is
brain
not.
Surgeons
it
get in.
It is an open learning system, and if your kid didn't play with his food, he didn't get past the oral stage in his development, and maybe that's why you're so obsessed with his butt, because you didn't play with your food either.
You know something, I'm a mother that loves her son, and I'm sorry that that's
no,
a foreign
honey, you
concept
are beyond
to you.
That.
It's a foreign concept
you are
to you.
Have, you've got an obsession
got
about your own
that
child.
You've got children that like to go into their diapers
are,
and throw it on the wall.
You have sexual repression going on.
You know something, are you a psychiatrist?
You are so sexually repressed,
are you a psychiatrist?
It's not even funny.
Well, you keep bringing up sex and drugs, so you must know
honey,
more
you're
about
the one that's talking
do.
About your kid's butt, and he's not even preteen yet.
You're the one that's
yet.
Talking about LSD and crack.
Yeah, but that's what you must be doing because you've got the mentation for it.
Okay, so you would be crying in your suit.
Had a
next,
few brain cells.
And if the next George Clooney is strapped down with duct tape face down on a urine-soaked mattress, I guess you think that's all right. I'm trying to
what
think...
What the hell are you talking about, dear?
I just...
What planet
be,
do you live
you
on?
You want me to slow down and
what
I will
do you
talk
live
slow
on
for
and,
you
I'd like to know
if the next George Clooney is strapped...
Don't come on,
you know
ladies.
What?
Ladies,
the world does not revolve around
not,
Hollywood.
Let's not be,
Did you ever see When Worlds Collide?
Will you stop with that movie already? I understand.
Well, anybody that thinks The Simpsons is, you know, predestination for the world is really...
All right.
Really lost
Sue,
it.
Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Kat, go ahead. You're on The Phil Henry Show.
Okay, I just want to address this lady that is advertising her son so highly. There have got to be perverts listening. Any idiot that can go out and get a crisscross dictionary is going to find you, and your son may be gone just because of his cute
not
ass.
Not if there's a pre-Amber alert. Not
I
if
have
there's a
10 children, 17
alert.
Grandchildren. I never advertised any of my children like that. And three-quarters of them went to Montessori. As long as you have the money to get them in there, they can go.
What are they doing
they
now?
They don't have to be bright.
What are they doing
I
now?
I have a 163 IQ. I would never talk about my children on the radio the way you have. Shame on you!
What am I saying that isn't so? I said my son's brilliant. He's smart. He's got
oh,
a 3.0.
Oh, keep it up!
Some
idiot... Some idiot will hear you, and then you'll be finished. You'll be done with your problem, and you and your husband
we'll
can
be,
go about your affairs.
And we'll be waiting for him.
Because obviously you don't want to keep your
and
child intact.
And we'll be waiting for him. Don't you understand, old woman?
Why don't you just advertise him in the meat market?
Lady.
Shame on you.
Oh, you don't know your ass from 40 cents a week. I'm talking
oh,
about...
Oh, well, that's why all 10 of my kids are alive, and the 17 grandchildren are just fine.
All 10
my
of
kids
them.
Don't go around flaunting their
yeah,
children.
Right. And how much oil did your boy sell last week?
What are you talking about?
Because I think I saw one at the gas station.
Look, here's the
No, my dear. No. They sell million-dollar yachts and things like that.
Right,
they're
very successful, huh, Kat?
Your IQ must be really, really low because nobody would put their child out in the air like that.
My IQ is 121.
Oh, well, that's too bad because mine's 163
How
and
do you
the
know?
Average of my children is... 135.
They lie
so
about those
your
things.
Your child is
yeah.
probably, if you did his homework for him, gee, he's got a 3-0 something.
Let me ask you something. 10 children, how many fathers did that take?
Okay,
three of them.
Now
three
we're
of
getting...
them.
Three of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of them died. My husband's died.
Well, I don't doubt it. You probably killed them.
Maybe. I sure as hell wasn't a good cook.
Well, I wouldn't think you'd be a good cook when you're spending all your time on your back.
All my children could write their own names before they went in school, and they didn't go in pre-kindergarten or kindergarten either.
You haven't closed
and
your legs
I cried when the summer was over because I loved them. And I sure as hell wouldn't have... Oh, I had to fight with them to keep them from wearing bikinis when they rode horseback. They're all excellent horsemen. Isn't that something? Can your kid do all that?
Well, head him up and move him out.
Okay, ladies, we've sort of
listen to the talk show host. He can't even do a show. You know, what's the name of your eldest
son? It's really hard to do a show when you've got an idiot on the air. You're supposed to be able to talk sense.
Listen, I could write my name if it was Cat. And by the way, how do you spell that?
Well,
how do you spell your name?
Put an ad out. Put an ad out. Put your name in it and your phone number and everything, and make sure that they know that your son has a beautiful ass, and then somebody will take him off your hands for you, and you will be free again.
Look, Mrs. Clampett, when you go out to the cement pond...
Okay. Can we perhaps get some...
No, seriously, how do you spell your name? Cat, how do you spell your name?
You don't know?
Oh, you're afraid to spell your name because you probably misspell it, don't you? Go ahead, how do you spell it?
Let's see.
Wait a minute, I have to wait until one of my kids gets in from their shuttle to the moon so they can remind me. I forgot. Yeah, that's right. Ask one of your kids how to spell Cat. And when he's done, ask him to spell his name.
Yeah, but they haven't get off the shuttle yet. They're out there making sure the moon stays in orbit.
Off the shuttle?
The shuttle. Shuttle.
Oh, the one from the airport. Good for them.
Oh, you've got a doozy on this time. I'll tell
you
what.
You
I'm
really
sure that
nuts,
I'm not the only one whose blood pressure went out of whack.
I'll tell you this much. I love my son, and I'm protecting him.
Oh, yeah, I can see.
Your kids are out running around on a shovel and a shuttle or whatever the hell it is they do.
The space shuttle. The space program.
Space.
Oh, she doesn't know about that.
Oh, I know about
space, all
right.
Because she only knows that the moon's going to crash into the Earth.
You know, that happens to be something that scientists are worried about. And if we can keep these children alive, we can keep the moon from hitting the Earth and then colliding into the sun.
Your kids are probably going to do nothing but sit around and look at themselves in the mirror.
And what are your kids doing? They're digging ditches or running the shuttle from the airport.
None of my kids dig ditches.
What space is that, between the ears? At least my kids don't ride horseback naked with a shovel.
All right.
What?
First they're riding bare-assed on a horse, and now they're in the space shuttle. Whatever.
All right, Kat, I think you made some good points because you...
I hope so.
Thank you very much
for
your call.
I hope so. I hope nobody else advertises their children in the air.
I know you love your children.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And we're going to present now a flashback from yesterday's show. Jim Sadler, Dr. Jim Sadler, is a paranormalist. He's a medium who can talk to the dead, and he crosses over and talks to the dead spouses of elderly people to find out where all the bank accounts are and where all the pins are. The pin, you know, for the... You know what? This was a confusing hour. Anyway, he goes over, he gets the information, then he tells the other person so that they know where the money is right after the one dies. It's all explained in a bit. Here we go.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Dr. Jim Sadler is a man who claims that he can cross over.
That is contact,
talk to the spirits of recently deceased individuals. He has a an actual business where people can pay him a fee, and you talk to the deceased husband or wife of a senior citizen.
That's what I was trying to say.
That is right, Phil. And we do it from their home, and we do it with great respect.
And you claim that the deceased husband or wife will let that living husband or wife know where the money is, where the PIN numbers are, where the credit cards are, and they'll be able to get their affairs in order.
That is also correct. You've got a lot of seniors out there that are being taken advantage of.
Well, I'm going to... All right, before I ask you any questions, you do it in the home, and you say you put the you put the other person into a trance?
Yeah, I use hypnosis, and I come into the home, and you have to pay respect to what it is you're about to do. And that is, you are about to contact the spirits of the dead. I come into the room, I have a portable pipe organ, which provides a trance-like music, which I play, and which affords the subject to get into this hypnotic state and allows me to also get into a hypnotic state where the spirit of the dead spouse can enter.
Can you give us an example when you say hypnotic music?
All right. This is a portable pipe organ that I keep, and I can bring this into any home, and I can give it a... Can you hear me, Phil?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's like... Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
La, 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 la. And it's very... Okay. See what I'm doing? It's very spooky.
You play this while the...
You're playing this while...
What is that song?
It's something that I wrote. I wrote this for the trance-like. Okay, so really what we're trying to do is...
So that's something you wrote that you play?
You play to put the people into the trance. Okay?
Because it's really spooky? I mean...
No, it's just, it affords respect for the dead. Keep in mind, again, that we're contacting the spirits of the dead. You have to have appropriate atmosphere. The dead will not be mocked. And the dead, if they are disrespected, will come back and be upset with you. And this is where we have hauntings. I also use a smoke machine, so I can show you here. I'll play the song. Now, you can't see the smoke here.
So what, do you got a smoke machine going?
Huh?
You got a smoke machine?
Right. And I get the subject to show me a picture of the one that the dead, the dead, you know, whatever it is, a husband or wife. Then I shake and I vibrate. I said, prepare for the spirit to enter me. And as I vibrate, that's when I give the subject a small dose of a Hypnol or a relaxant. La, 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 la. And see, so I'm being respectful to the dead, all right? Now, once I do that, then they're in the
trance.
In the trance, then the dead one comes into me, and then he tells me where everything is.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah. All right. It's pretty cool. All that crap is on our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Check out our website. We have audio archives of the funniest stuff in the history of radio right.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You have a company called Rock and Roll Collectibles, and you have some Elvis wigs that you can't sell, right?
That is true, right. And all we're asking for is the government does for us what they have done for victims of tragedies. I mean, there are many natural tragedies, Mr. Henry. There's hurricanes, there's tornadoes.
You're looking for government assistance from the Department of Commerce?
Yeah, I mean, look what happened after 9/11. I think there are other natural tragedies. Racism's also a natural tragedy. So if you give people money after 9/11, you give people money after a tornado hit, you give people money after a hurricane hit, why not give an entrepreneur like me money after racism has kept me from being able to sell these Elvis Presley wigs that have the look and the feel of Elvis's hair, the pompadour that he wore? I'm out $10,000 on the purchase of these wigs. In many ways, I sort of feel like it is racism that these wigs weren't bought.
Well, why do you say it's racism?
Why do I say it's racism?
Yeah.
Because I'm a Hispanic, and though I was born in this country, I've been excluded from the mainstream of American culture. I don't really know about old-time music. I have been told and I've read that Elvis Presley was the so-called king of rock and roll. Obviously, that's not true, because no one cares. No one cared to tell me about it before I spent $10,000.
Yes, it is true. Elvis was popular. He was the king of rock and roll. The thing of it is you can't sell these Elvis Presley wigs. Right?
Well, you say he was popular.
Yeah, he was very popular. He was huge.
If that's true, then what's the problem? Here's where the problem comes into play. Why am I not selling the wigs?
With all due respect, sir, maybe it's a product that nobody wants. Maybe they're substandard.
See, that to me, as I said to your producer, that's another example of racism. I don't want to offend you, but every Anglo thinks that something that is sold by a Mexican is substandard.
But Elvis Presley was popular. He sold a lot of records.
All right, if he was popular, then why are they not buying my wigs? That's racism. They are racist against me as a Hispanic. All Americans complain that Mexicans don't lend anything to the economy, and yet here I am, a young Hispanic entrepreneur. All they want to do is kick me back out into the field to do celery picking. That's wrong. That's wrong. Okay, that's wrong.
Look, you're $10,000 in the hole because of bad business sense is what I'm trying to tell you.
No, that may be true, but because of affirmative action to help a minority businessman, I need to come up with some cash. I do have a plan. I do want to recoup my losses, and I think that the U.S. Department of Commerce can help me do that.
All right. Brass, you want the United States Department of Commerce to reimburse you the money that you put out for these Elvis Presley wigs.
Plus the 5%.
Plus 5% per wig, which is what you think you would have been would have been your profit. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy, I got to tell you, you got caught in the free enterprise meat grinder. That's all that happened to you.
Yeah, but here's where the problem comes into play. Because I'm Hispanic, the free enterprise system doesn't work the same way for us. It's a double standard. I could take the easy road and have a white man sell my wigs, but I'm a proud Hispanic man. I'm not going to crawl and hide behind a white man, okay? Everybody buys Elvis memorabilia, but these wigs, which are human hair, plus we also recondition the wig for $25, plus we also have all the transgender styles for your choosing, and nobody will buy these things.
And you want the Department of Commerce to subsidize the 10 G's that you lost in the Elvis wigs?
Yes, sir.
And I don't see the precedent.
I can give you the precedent. Dairy farmers get subsidies. All right?
All right, that's dairy farmers.
I watch millions of dollars go out for flood victims. I watch millions of dollars go out for 9/11 victims. I think I'm entitled to a subsidy. I did due diligence. I bought Elvis wigs. Everybody, you say Elvis is popular. See, racism is just like any other natural tragedy, like 9/11, like a hurricane, or like anything else. And as a result, we need to be subsidized, and we need to have the federal government come to our assistance when I'm trying to sell Elvis wigs, but no one will buy them on account of the racism.
Let me ask you something here, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Brass Villanueva. He's with a company called Rock and Roll Collectibles. They specialize in memorabilia. And this is not memorabilia. This is an Elvis Presley wig.
This is the exact hairstyle that he wore during his Vegas years. It has the process pompadour, has a waterfall effect curl in the front, has a duck ass, but also is kind of the long sideburns. So it's a quality product. It's a quality product. The problem is I can't sell it because of racism.
In other words, I'm not going to buy your wig because I'm a racist?
You're not buying my wig, sir. That's right, because everybody thinks Mexicans make substandard products. Okay? And so what I'm saying is either you're not buying my wig because you think Mexicans make substandard products, or you don't want to buy from a Mexican.
But if you were white, I would buy an Elvis Presley wig.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If Elvis Presley is as popular as you say he was,
right,
how come I can't sell a wig?
I gave you the answer. I said it's a substandard product.
This is the 25th anniversary of Elvis Presley dying. That's the thing you need to understand. That's the thing you need to be clear on. All these wigs are natural fiber. They're not corn husks from TJ. These are natural fiber. And Elvis Presley, you know, they look like him. So that's what I'm trying to say. So the U.S. Department of Commerce...
Well, if you go to the U.S. Department of Commerce and ask them to reimburse you for the fact that you can't sell $10,000 worth of Elvis Presley wigs, here's where the problem comes into play, to use the phrase that you like to use.
No, I'm only saying...
No, here's the problem. That's taxpayer money. I have to, out of my pocket, I got to pay my tax money to give you your $10,000 back because you couldn't sell Elvis Presley wigs because of racism.
That's right. But again, Mr. Henry, I'm trying to explain to you. The federal government gives money for...
No, I know. Natural disasters like 9/11 and hurricanes and tornadoes and all of that, and flooding and everything.
That's right.
Okay. But you count racism in with that.
That's a natural tragedy just like everything else. Okay? So why is the government not reimbursing me for the fact that I tried in good faith on the week that Elvis Presley died to try to sell the Elvis memorabilia wig, which is high fiber, $25 for reconditioning the wig, and it's all natural human hair. It's top notch, and I'm at cost. I'm out $10,000.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. Our question to the audience would be: how many of you think that this young man should be reimbursed for his business loss from the Department of Commerce Because he can't sell Elvis Presley wigs on the 25th anniversary of his death. Now, I will say this.
Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that my feeling is this, that because of a history of racism in this country, and I'm just starting out, I should be allowed at least to have it reimbursed.
Because of the history of racism in this country, and you just started out, you feel you $10,000, my tax money.
Yeah, but you're a white man. You're rich.
Oh, stop it. Okay, there's plenty of poor white people.
No, but you are a talk show host. It's not going to hurt you at all.
Well, I'm a talk show host. Won't hurt me at all. The fact of the matter remains, there's a lot of white folks out there and black folks and people that are not Hispanic who may not be able to, don't want to kick in the extra money. But I'll put the question to the audience. Brass, his company, Rock and Roll Collectibles, he spent $10,000 purchasing Elvis Presley wigs. He can't sell them as the result of the 25th anniversary of Elvis dying. And on top of that, because he can't sell the wigs, he feels that the U.S. Department of Commerce should subsidize his loss, $10,000. His reasoning? Because he can't sell the wigs because people are racists and don't want to buy Elvis wigs from a Mexican. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
There are a lot of high quality transgender wigs too.
1-800-449-8686. This gentleman is selling Elvis Presley wigs. You're not selling them, right?
No, sir. I've not been able to make sufficient sales.
Because you say it's racism, because you're a Mexican, and you want the government to pay you back on your business investment.
The same way they subsidize dairy farmers, the same way they subsidize big business when it goes under. The same way they subsidize people who you look at some of this trailer park trash, they live out in tornado country.
All right, hold on. Before we go any further, I don't want anybody called trailer park trash if you don't want to be called racist, okay?
All right, but a lot of these poor white, whatever you want to call them, they live out in trailer park country. They know they're going to get hit by a tornado. They live there anyway. Their house gets blown away. Government gives them money. See what I'm saying? Mine was a legitimate business investment.
All right, so the people who live in trailers get money. Why can't you get money? Because you can't sell the Elvis Presley wigs because...
Because racism is...
Yeah, I know. It's a national tragedy or something like that. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Matt.
I mean, how stupid do you have to be to live in a trailer in a tornado area?
Understood. Matt, go ahead.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, Mr. Henry. This guy is absolutely ridiculous.
There's been racism against the Latin people for years. Selena got
stabbed. Why do you have to advertise that you're Mexican or whatever?
Because that's why nobody wants to reimburse me for my business expense, even though they'll reimburse some white man who lives in a trailer when it gets blown away by a tornado.
How do they know that you're Mexican? You're selling wigs. Nobody's jumping on the Elvis
wig. No, I sell them at a stand, outdoor stand in Echo Park.
All right, so give me this one. The guys outside of concerts and football games selling T-shirts. And they don't make their money back. Should they get subsidized too?
Is he a Mexican? I think he
It doesn't
has,
matter.
I think he has a case if he's Mexican.
No.
You're saying he's white.
All right.
Well, how do you make
saying,
a case?
I'm white. If I had a stand selling Elvis wigs, I wouldn't expect anybody to come to it.
Well, then you're not a very good salesman. You're not a very good salesman.
Wait a
minute. Well, obviously you're not either. And that's all it is. It has nothing to do with your race. You're not a good salesman either.
Why are you saying these are top quality wigs? We offer $25 reconditioning.
Who the hell wants an Elvis wig? That's your problem.
First of all,
let me ask.
Here's the thing I'm saying to you. 25 years ago this week, Elvis Presley died. This is the 25th anniversary of his death.
I know this.
Okay, so it is a collectible.
Okay.
Now, if he's a white man who's running a stand, I don't think he should get reimbursed because there's no history of racism against white men. But if he's Mexican, he should get reimbursed.
No, you don't have a case.
Well, that's nuts, man. How do you separate out the fact that your product is substandard from the fact that nobody wants to buy it because you're Mexican?
Because of the fact that they give trailer people money when their trailer gets blown away. They give dairy farmers money. They give wheat farmers
dairy
money.
Dairy farmers are providing milk and eggs.
No, they pay them.
You don't need an Elvis wig.
They pay them not to make milk. They pay them not to grow wheat. They pay them not to grow corn. How do you figure that?
Yeah.
See, you don't have an answer for that.
You're right, because nobody wants an Elvis wig, sir.
I sold all I had in Mexico. Then I came across the border. I tried to make it on the USA. USA spit on me.
How'd you get across the border?
That's not relevant.
Good question.
That's not relevant.
Good question.
Why isn't it relevant?
It's just not relevant.
You're not even an American citizen, but yet you want American money.
How did you get
it? For your product that nobody wants.
If you look at the polls in Mexico right now...
Are you an American citizen, sir?
I think that's irrelevant to what I'm talking about.
No, I don't think so, because you're asking for American money and you're not even a citizen.
How come I was able to sell Elvis wigs in Mexico?
Because you're Mexican.
Yeah, I guess they aren't
that's
racist.
That's your country.
Our government sends food to Afghanistan. Okay?
Wait, you're saying our government. You're not even a citizen.
Okay, let me tell you this.
You're not a
citizen, really dodging,
and you want American money.
You're dodging this guy.
All right, let me say this.
No, but you're dodging this guy, okay?
No, I'm in California right now. California at one time was a part of Mexico. If you go down to Mexico right now, you'll find a lot of people think it still ought to be a part.
Well, it ain't. It ain't, and this is America. Now, how did you get over the border here?
That's not relevant.
It is relevant.
It is relevant. You're asking for American money, and you're not American.
Do you know how
hard
it is?
You're not a citizen.
Okay, let me tell you something. You talk about entrepreneurial spirit. I had to sneak $10,000 worth of Elvis wigs from Mexico to the United States.
That's great. Become a citizen. Become a citizen, and then ask for
money.
Now
you've just admitted that you snuck $10,000 worth of wigs.
All right, I admit that. But...
So you're an illegal immigrant... looking for our money, and you're complaining that people from 9/11 are getting money and people's houses are wrecked by tragedy and disaster, they get money. They deserve it. They're citizens.
How do they deserve it? How stupid do you have to be to put a trailer in the middle of tornado country?
How stupid do you have to be to smuggle wigs over the border? I can't even believe I'm saying it.
My wigs are 100% lice-free. These are wigs that are reconditioned for...
I understand your freaking guarantee.
And you're still trying to sell them. You're on air trying to sell your product that nobody wants.
They gave a food to Afghanistan.
And you're not...
They gave food... Yeah,
because we're bombing their country. There are innocent people over there that do deserve that money.
Some people over there have been the collateral damage of a war, innocent people who need food. You snuck $10,000 worth of Elvis wigs across the border into the United States. You can't sell them. Even though they're lice-free, and you give a $25 recondition.
Okay, see, that's all racist, because you love to laugh at the Mexicans. All you want to do is laugh at the Mexican.
We're not laughing at you because you're Mexican. We're laughing at you because you're selling a half-assed product. You're looking for money from a country that isn't yours.
You know there are innocent people here in America who are getting ripped off because we was lied to about how popular Elvis Presley was?
Now that's your problem. No, carpe diem, dude.
That's not my problem.
It is.
How do you say
don't
that?
Don't believe the hype.
Okay, but everybody said Elvis was popular.
Elvis is popular. It doesn't mean his hair is. You're not even selling his hair. You're selling a wig that looks like his hair.
This is something you can wear.
Okay, look, Matt, we've taken up enough of your time.
No, I want to make a point.
What colors are the wigs?
What color?
Yeah. They're black?
No, they're red.
They're red! Elvis has black hair!
Hey, excuse me, I don't know if you've seen the kids these days. They like to dye their hair red, blue, and all that.
Oh, my God. Buddy, you don't have a product. That's your problem. You don't have a product. Quit complaining.
That anybody wants.
I have already petitioned the United States Department of Commerce.
Well, then you're not going to get nothing.
Okay, and I'll tell you something else. If you saw the movie Kissing Cousins, Elvis had red hair. So, you know, it can go either way.
All right,
Lincoln, thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Gary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, fine, sir.
My point of the matter is that whether you be white, black, red, blue, or green, it's a matter of interest. and Elvis wigs are maybe not of interest to millions of Americans, so millions of American taxpayers should not be the ones
to
fill your butt out.
Is Elvis Presley one of the top, like, you know, recording artists of all time, or is he not?
Well, he may be, but it's a matter of opinion of whether or not you like the guy. And there's millions that maybe don't.
Why'd they call him the king? Because millions of people love to go see him.
I'm not going to be responsible for bailing you out as a taxpayer.
No.
You're an idiot.
No. Why am I an idiot? I'm selling Elvis Presley.
Huh? I happen to be white, and I happen to live in a trailer in Arkansas, which is Tornado Alley. And you know what?
How smart is that?
I don't rely on the governor or the government for any reason to bail me out. I purchase what they have here in the United States called insurance.
Well, here's the thing also, and that's a very good point, Gary. Gary's insured, all right?
No, but he gets FEMA protection too, don't you? Sure you do.
Not when you have insurance. There's really no need
for
that.
Now, you, in the news story that we have here, Brass, you say while you're selling the Elvis wigs, you do an Elvis impression?
Yes, I do. I do a great Elvis impression that kind of gets people going, and I'd like to do it for you right now.
No, I just wanted to know, are you doing an Elvis?
No, hold on. Watch. Okay, both you guys can go straight to hell.
He hung up. Are you ready for that? You know,
I'm here.
Yeah, he hung up.
That's great.
Yeah.
He showed his intelligence.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for taking
my time. Bye-bye. I want the Department of Commerce to bail me out. Because I got these Elvis wigs, man, and I just need to sell them, and I can't sell. Oh, is he back? Yes, sir. What do you want?
I changed the words to be my teddy bear to buy. Listen to this.
Buy my Elvis wig.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Time for another installment of The Problems That Men Face. And we have a special guest. As you know, we take cards and letters. We get an awful lot of cards and letters from all kinds of guys throughout the week. Individual problems and how we can share with the information that each man has, how we can make life better for all men. Right now we have... come on in, Chris. Sit down. What's your name?
My name is Chris Norton.
You're Chris Norton, and Chris, how old are you?
Yes, sir, I'm 28.
You're 28. Where do you live?
I live in Manhattan Beach.
Manhattan Beach. Chris, you wrote us a letter having to do with your dating and meeting women, right?
Yes, sir.
And what essentially is the problem you have?
I think that basically, first of all, I want to say it's exciting for me to be here with you, Mr. Henry. Like listening to your show a lot.
Thank you.
And I think that the reason why I say, okay, I'm kind of nervous.
All right, calm down. Have a glass of water there. Take a sip of that. Go ahead.
I think women take advantage of me because.
All right. Now, in the card that you wrote to Janice, women take advantage of you because of your physical body.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Be specific. And if you can, use a metaphor or another word for it.
Well, women take advantage of me because I do have a large male member. They told me that I, or they do say that they are attracted to me.
How do they know that you have a large penis?
Excuse me?
How do they know?
Oh, well, apparently they can see it through my pants. I wear generally pleather because it's very comfortable and...
Is pleather tight? I'm not familiar with pleather. What is that?
It's kind of a cross between plastic and leather. It's very fashionable. It's very stylish. It's also something that you can wear either as a formal item or you can wear a casual too. And I like to just, I'm very California casual. That's my style.
Would you say that you dress to look sexy for women?
No, I don't. I've never had a problem getting women interested in me because I do have a large male member. I have had a lot of women who just want to go out with me, and that's never been a problem. But I don't want to be treated that way, and there's a lot of problems that are associated with it.
You mentioned that you have a blood pressure problem. Is that right?
Yes, I do, sir.
Is that because of the size of it?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
My blood pressure will go down when I get inside it because the amount of blood that has to go down to it drains. The doctor told me it drains out of the brain. I have to lay down.
All right, so women are treating you in a way that many women could identify with this because of your physicality.
Yeah, women treat me as if I'm a stud, and they just want to ride me like I'm a stud mule. And I find that offensive. My inner feelings have been hurt. When all they want to do is have sex with me and treat me like a human being, I would just like to be treated like a human being. And when women look at me, they never really look me in the eye, you know?
Where are they looking?
They look like at my upper left thigh. That's where they look. And they look at it, and they never want to take me for the man that I am. All they want to do is look at it.
So women are looking down there at your male members, you call it.
Yeah, that's all they want to do is look at it. And they will look at it, even though I'm trying to talk to them, and they say, what's your name and everything? And they say, oh, my name is Mary or whatever, and they're staring straight at my leg. They never are looking at me.
So there, women are having a conversation, hi, my name's Mary, and they're staring down at your leg.
They're staring at the upper portion.
All right, the upper part of your left thigh.
Yeah.
Do you dress sexy, Chris?
No, I mean, the clothes I wear are functional. I like to feel, I mean, I wear loose-fitting silk shirts. I wear a nice, comfortable pleather or leather pants, generally cowboy boots. I do wear some wrist chains. I also wear a bandana. People see the bandana when I get out of my car because I go down to Rusty Pelican in Manhattan Beach. And
is that what you call a distinctive thing, your bandana?
Yes, sir. I wear a red bandana.
And you say that so people can see you?
Yeah, they see me when I get out of my car. And when I go down to Rusty Pelican, they'll say, oh, Chris is coming in. Get his Scott Morgans and Coke ready for him because they can see the red bandana in the parking lot as I come out. But I just want to go into adult film business as a producer as soon as I get enough money. But that doesn't mean that I want women to see me as a sex object.
This is the first I heard. You want to go into producing adult films?
Yes, I do, sir.
But you don't want to necessarily have the sex that goes along with it.
No, I want to meet a woman, but because I have a huge, you know, I mean, it is pretty big. It's anyone that's big enough to make you almost pass out when you get excited, you know.
All right, let's establish it's big.
It's big, and women want it. And I just don't think it's right, that's all.
All right, this is Chris. Go ahead, Chris, you can relax. You look a little nervous, man. I don't blame you. This is Chris Norton. He's 28 years old from Manhattan Beach. Women treat him like a sex object because he is very endowed. He says he doesn't dress sexy. He just dresses. You just dress for comfort, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
Tell me a little bit more about how you dress. You wear a red bandana, leather or pleather pants. Do you wear any other kind of pant?
Not really, because I like the pleather or the leather because you can breathe. I mean, your skin breathes, you know. It has a lot to do with the fact that I am large because it has to breathe. And because I'm like that, just don't mean I want to be used as a piece of me. And I do see women in restaurants that I go into, or into bars, or into cocktail lounges that I like to go to. I see women whispering about my male member at the bar. They'll point it out and see, look at that. And it makes me sweat, and I get upset about it because I know that what's coming next. And
well, what is coming next? They're going to come over to you?
Yeah, they're going to come over and say, you know, what it is, you know, buy me a drink. And what I ought to do is say, buy me a drink for all the hell that I go through. Because every time one of them comes over and gets me excited, I feel like I'm going to pass out.
Because the blood's coming down from your brain?
Into it, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
All right, Chris Norton is his name. And this is a part of the regular feature that we're running on our program, Mo. The problems that men have and what we can do to help each other.
What's the matter?
Well, kill the music. I got to tell you something, man. You have a problem that I can't relate to. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that there's very many guys out there that can.
Well, I mean, your program is called Problems and How Men Can Help Each Other.
Yeah, I know, but I don't see what you have as a problem, and it's hard for me to sit here and go, well, gee, you know.
I mean, but sometimes I ask women to dance. All they want to do is slow dance. All they want to do is rub on it and everything. And I mean, I just...
Yeah, I know, man. And I'm hearing what you're saying, and what I'm trying to tell you is it's going to be tough for me to see this as a problem that you have.
It hurts me. I mean, it hurts.
All right, it hurts not to be taken seriously as a human being. I understand that. But maybe you need to demonstrate a little bit more of your personality, okay?
Well, I want to, you know.
Well, what do you want to do, man? All you've been talking about here is your pleather pants, how big your male member is, and that you like Captain Morgan's and Coke and wear a red bandana when you drink at the Rusty Pelican in Manhattan Beach.
No, but there's more to me. But women like that. I mean, they want to know what your tastes are and stuff. You know?
But if you're wearing pleather pants and walking around showing it... Well, look. Let me give our phone number out here, okay? It's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton is with us on this edition of The Problems That Men Have and How We Can Support Each Other. We don't limit our phone calls just to men, but Chris says that he has a really large male member and women don't take him seriously as a human being as a result.
You're giving that look again.
Yeah, I am giving that look again because it's a hard thing for me to relate to. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Okay, we're with Chris Norton. Chris is a 28-year-old man from Manhattan Beach, and you're tired of being treated as a sex object, and you are treated as a sex object by women, correct? What you want to do is come right in here, Chris.
Yes, sir. Basically, because they want sex from me.
Because they want sex from you?
Yes, sir.
And that's because you have a large male members, you say that?
Yes, sir. Because they can see it through my pants, and they do stare at it. And I think it's time that women stop using guys like me. I mean, women can be very shallow, and we're just asking them not to be so shallow and take advantage of me for the things that I know about. I do want to be a filmmaker someday. Although it is in adult films, I don't think that's bad. And I also do telemarketing for a pharmaceutical firm, and I do...
Well, what are the things you like to do? Do you like to run on the beach? I know you like to, you're athletic.
Yes, I do. I like to jog. Watch my weight. I enjoy working out at the gym. I do, I like to ride up and down the bike path on Venice Beach, too.
Okay, that's a good start. Let me go to our phone call here. Erica, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good. Chris, say hello to Erica.
Hi.
Hi, Chris. Are you waiting for my comment?
No, we're just all going to sit here and revel in the dead air because it's...
Well, no, basically I was just calling about, Chris, women have been dealing with this problem forever. There's no changing. You can't say men don't look. I mean, you kind of have to deal with it.
No, but I mean, so you're saying that women have been dealing with that problem forever, so they have to deal with it too?
Yes.
Or do women want it to change?
Women with large breasts. Now, women can either cover them up if they don't like the attention, untuck your shirt, or you just deal with it.
That's an idea. Untuck your shirt and have it hang out or something?
Well, but that looks, I mean, it looks sloppy, you know. I pride myself on my dress and everything.
Well, then just don't date the women that are staring at your upper left thigh.
Can I ask you, do you have large breasts, or is this something that you have to deal with?
Yeah, I've dealt with it. I would not say that I'm a double D or anything like that, but I'm fairly a little larger.
All right. Okay. One thing that women do have, Mr. Henry, if I could say.
Go ahead.
Women can go in and have their boobs made smaller, but there's no penis reduction that I know about yet.
So are you saying you'd actually go for a penis reduction? If you're not going to untuck your shirt, you must not be that concerned about it.
Oh, I am concerned about it, but I don't want to walk in. I'm sure. So I'm supposed to walk into a restaurant with my shirt hanging out? What's that about, you know?
Well, don't.
What about some of those shirts that are styled? What about bowling shirts? Bowling shirts that hang out, you know?
Polo shirt?
I'm not, like, that's really not Chris Norton, bowling shirt. What I do, I have a signature red bandana, and I have, you know, I wear pleather or leather pants. They're not skin tight or anything.
Well, look at pleather or leather pants are going to hug the body a little bit, okay?
No, but they're not skin tight.
Well, if you're as big as you say you are, where the blood's draining out of your head, they don't have to be skin tight.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think that what I was hoping to have happen was women would not treat me like no stud mule, you know? So.
Well, I would suggest that you not date those women. If a woman walks up to you and is looking at your side, I would suggest you walk away.
Well, hold on.
But apparently you're standing there long enough to get excited, so.
Well, I mean, I'm a man. I mean, women excite me. I'm sure. I'm not going to be cited.
Well, if right, you're
Chris,
that
hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute, Erica. Chris, why don't you stand up for a minute, okay?
But, I mean, some are really hot, you know, and I can't always say no. If a woman is really hot, okay, like Erica, you say that you're hot, you say that you have large breasts or not?
I would never say that I was hot.
Well,
I am attractive, but I don't think large breasts make somebody hot.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I'll be the judge of that, as the poet says, right? I mean, if you have large breasts.
Well, let me ask you something, Chris. Why don't you stand up?
Why?
I want to see what, okay, and I'm not gay, all right?
Well, if you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Well, why do you want to look at it?
I want to see just how big this thing. I'm not gay, okay, man? It's just a guy here, all right?
I think it's a little gay.
No, hey, Erica?
Yes.
Is that gay of me to want to just have the guy stand up?
Well, no, you would actually need something to tell the listener is he
yes.
really as large as he says.
That's what I'm saying, Chris, okay?
All right.
Just stand up. Okay, I don't, where?
Right there.
Where?
Right there, man.
What, that?
Hello, man.
What are you talking about, man? I'm bigger than that. What is he talking about?
Well, then you must be hung like a stud mule.
No, I am not, and I won't get into discussing me, if you don't mind.
Would it be wrong to ask measurements?
Please don't pull it out.
I'm not trying to pull it out, so get your hands away from me, too, all right? Don't hold onto the microphone, man. I'm not going to grab it, all right? I can't even see it.
Mr. Henry?
Stand up, though.
No, I want to... Mr. Henry, I think you're slandering me now. Why don't I take a look at yours, then?
No, man, you're the cat that says you're having a problem because your thing is so big. I can't... Where is it? I mean, Don't pull your pants down, okay?
Why? Why?
Don't pull your pants down, man. I don't want to see it that bad.
Come on, let's whip it out, man. Let's check it out. Let's go.
I ain't whipping anything out.
You're saying what? I'm like an ingrown flea or something?
Just put your freaking thing back in your pants, man. Hey, Erica?
Yes.
It ain't no thing, okay?
Bullcrap, man. Anytime, Erica, I'll come over and show you. Okay, do you know those guys that do the penis puppets? They wanted me to be on the thing.
What do you mean, penis puppet? Okay, Erica, go ahead with your question. We're going to move on here.
Mr. Henry,
just get away from me, will you, man?
Well, now you don't like me because my penis isn't big.
All right,
I'm basically
you.
Done.
Yeah,
I just
I'm
called
done
to
too.
Make the
just get out of here, all right?
Well, because my penis is not big.
Get out of here! Hung like a stud mule. I ain't saying the guy was small. I'm just saying big wow. If that guy's big, I'm big, and I got news for you, I ain't.
I want to sue you for slandering my penis.
Oh, are you really? Oh, well, you go right ahead and do that. You're the guy that came in here. No, I don't want you to do that.
Well, it's my...
No, Chris, I don't want him to stretch it over a lampshade to see a map of Brazil, all right? Never mind.
You made my penis sad.
Yeah, that's too bad, man. That's a drag, Daddy-O. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Blew out a whole segment to listen to that, and we could have been listening to yesterday's flashback, the old lady telling Bobby and Steve Dooley to shut up over and over again. That was fantastic. Let me just tell you that our website is up and running, philhenryshow.com. That is the only place you can get the best of the year 2001 seed. Why do you keep coming in here and showing me your penis? I don't understand.
Because the man of the thing...
Put it back in your pants and get off the premises. Craig just turned around to see if there really was a guy standing at the door. That was great. PhilHenryShow.com. All you have to do is go to that website, and you can pick up the Best of the Year 2001 CD. Best of the Phil Henry Show. Bring It is the name of the CD. Best of the Phil Henry Show 2001. And all of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless runaway squid in Hollywood. And again, that is $20, $350 shipping and handling for the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD year 2001. We'll be right back.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
We've been trying for a long time to get Bobby Dooley, who's with the Laker Pep Club. Bobby Bryant purchased a $4 million, you heard me right, a $4 million diamond ring for his wife, Vanessa. It is a gesture, I guess, of asking for forgiveness. As a Laker fan, Ms. Dooley is on the line with us from Western Estates. And a good afternoon, and thank you for joining us.
Phil, it's my pleasure.
As a Laker fan, how does this strike you?
Phil, Kobe, I think, nipped in the bud something that could have become a very, very serious situation, I think, for the Lakers, and certainly it would have made it difficult for their team. I think he was very smart, and that's how much he loves his fans. He takes care of his fans, and he took care of his wife's hurt feelings. He got her a ring. And it's a beautiful ring, and I think now we can think about the season.
Does this put the whole thing behind us?
Oh, I think it really does.
In other words, buying this $4 million ring puts the entire eye of the idea of infidelity and then the possibility that he raped this girl behind the fans.
Phil, I think what has happened, and I think everyone needs to know, by Kobe buying Vanessa this $4 million ring, I think Vanessa has been blessed. I think what he has said to her is, you're in the club. And what do I mean by the club? I don't mean anything arrogant by that.
In the club?
Well, I don't mean anything arrogant. What I mean is she's a Laker wife. She's a woman who is now the wife of a Laker. And by that I mean she's like Cookie Johnson. She's like Jeannie Buss, even though she's not married, she's just sleeping with Phil Jackson. You know, they're in the club, and in inviting a woman into that club, it is such an honor, Phil, to be a Laker wife, to be on the arm of a representative of the greatest basketball dynasty that the great sport of basketball has ever seen. Yes, what he did was insensitive. Yes, it insulted their marriage. But by giving her this wonderfully generous gift, he has said to her, you are my queen. And I think now as fans of the Lakers, we can all just sort of sit back. I know I did. I heard the news last night.
Vanessa, this $4 million diamond ring.
Yeah, I heard the news. My husband, Steve, had come in. In fact, Steve's here right now.
I heard on sports radio on JT and the Brick Show.
On the JT and the Brick Show?
On the Brick Show.
And we heard that Kobe had bought Vanessa this ring. And the first thing I remember was, I really just started to cry because I knew that everything was going to be okay and that Vanessa can now forget about being hurt, forget about...
Can I just interrupt you for a minute, Ms. Dooley?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Look, $4 million is a lot of bread. A few men have that kind of money to lay on their woman that they love. It's obviously a beautiful gift, but does even a $4 million diamond ring forgive a man's infidelity and the possibility, we're not saying it happened, but the possibility that he assaulted a woman?
Phil, I think you need to understand, number one, how important diamonds can be to, as a symbol of love for a woman. Then when you multiply that by 4 million, literally, I think a woman, and I you'd have to ask other women this, Phil, for you to believe me, but I just trust me, every woman out there knows, if she gets a gift like that, and she knows she's in, she knows she's been invited into the inner circle of because when a man marries you and says he loves you, you may believe him, you may not. But when he does something like that, then you know. And women understand that that is a great gesture. So
yeah, but the question is, does it forgive?
Your question is, does it forgive his infidelity? The answer to that question is, not only does it forgive it, but it makes it as if it never happened. And Vanessa now owes it to Kobe, to the other, to the Laker fans, and to everyone, to understand that this never happened. He never was unfaithful to her.
But he was.
No, but $4 million worth of diamonds, Phil. A diamond is forever. A $4 million diamond is an eternity.
All right, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Laker Pep Club. Are you a fan organization?
We are the number one fan, Laker fan booster club in the West Valley, yeah.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, to bring a lot of you up to date. Kobe Bryant, as you know, admitted to infidelity. He admitted that he had slept with at least slept with a woman in Colorado, and it's a possible state of affairs that he raped her. At least that's what he's been charged with. Bobby Dooley's on the line to say that Mr. Bryant, in giving his wife Vanessa a $4 million diamond ring, it's over. He has basically done what he needed to do to have her forgive him. And you said that you think Vanessa owes a debt of gratitude?
Oh, I'd like to think that Vanessa owes a debt of gratitude, yeah.
To who?
To the young lady that, and let me be clear, Phil, this young woman that Kobe is alleged to have raped, Vanessa would never have gotten that diamond ring had Kobe not raped that young woman. Now, I'm not saying that he did, but let's say he did. You know what? I'm sure today, and I know all the women out there would agree with me, right now that young girl is in Colorado smiling a little smile because she knows that Vanessa is in. Vanessa got her ring, and I think as women, we all look to a woman like that, and we say, you know what, you go, girlfriend. Good for you. And if it took a young girl being held down, and it's a horrible image, Phil, to be held down on a bathroom floor or to have a bodyguard place his hand over your mouth while Mr. Bryant went ahead and did it, but even if it took that, I'm sure she's proud in a way since Vanessa got that ring.
Now, wait a minute. I want to be clear. Are you saying to me that young woman in Colorado is glad she might have been raped so that Vanessa got a $4 million ring?
So, again, you need to understand, and you need to get other women's corroboration. Don't believe me. But when you see another woman get a beautiful, beautiful symbol of love like that, and all it took was for you to close your eyes and just endure the pain for a few minutes. And
Who are we talking about?
I'm sorry?
Who's enduring what pain?
The girl
in Colorado?
Yes.
So she's happy for Vanessa Bryant that she got her ring, and so therefore it's not so bad that she got raped.
Again, I know it sounds ugly.
It sounds inconceivable.
No. What I'm saying is, right now that girl is saying, you know what? I know I got raped, but Vanessa got what we all want, the big prize.
All right, Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Laker Pep Club. Kobe Bryant may have committed rape. He did cheat on his wife, but he gave Vanessa Bryant, as of yesterday, a $4 million diamond ring. And according to Bobby and other Laker fans who are women, this has healed everything. And you're saying that even that girl in Colorado was happy she got raped if Vanessa got her ring.
I don't think I said that, Phil.
Yeah, well, yes, you did. You said she may be smiling right now. Wanda, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I'm going crazy here. I cannot believe I hear a woman saying this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
You actually think women are that shallow that if he of a ring, I don't care if it's $4 million or $4, is going to buy back faithfulness? That is the most shallow, materialistic comment I've ever heard a woman make.
You know something? I don't know that you've ever really seen a diamond that is that valuable.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Something to see.
No, it's nothing to see. It's an inanimate. It's an object.
Mm-hmm.
It's not love. It's not fidelity. It's not commitment. It's garbage. It's nothing that you're going to die and it's not going with you. But the love you have for one another, that's what stays with you. That is the most shallow thing I've ever. I can't believe you're a woman saying this. You're blowing me away.
Excuse me. I don't know. Are you the spokeswoman for all women?
No,
I'm giving my opinion.
I can guarantee you, I'm a spokeswoman for a lot of women that are listening to this right now.
Well, let me say...
Well, Ms. Dooley, to interrupt, you said that a lot of women would agree with you.
A lot of women will agree with me, Phil.
This is a woman...
You know what really makes me angry? It's easy to say, oh, I would never take $4 million until someone puts it in front of you. $4 million.
Does that bring her back to the place where before she was supposedly raped? Now, we don't know if that happened here or not. So maybe it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But if it did, you think that pays that off because some other woman gets a ring? Come on.
I'll tell you something, and I'm going to say this to you woman to woman. $4 million stops an awful lot of rectal bleeding.
No, it wouldn't stop
me. Oh, God.
Not when somebody's a
dirtbag.
No, $4 million.
No. What is $4 million if you have no love?
I don't think you've ever seen it.
I'm sorry. It's nothing.
I'll give you an example.
How much is the stock market? It's going to be gone anyway. But love is what it remains.
Mm-hmm. How much is your home worth, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm not going to tell you how much my home's worth.
Okay. You know why I'm asking?
It doesn't matter.
If you knew what $4 million really was, you wouldn't be saying
it. It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
All you're saying is how shallow you are. I've never heard a woman sound this shallow.
It's not shallow. It's sensible, and you do it, too.
All right, ladies.
Absolutely not.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. Kobe Bryant purchased, and I put Ms. Dooley on the line, and that line, $4 million stops a lot of rectal bleeding. That is the sickest. All right, here's what I'd like to say. I'm going to stop this interview right now unless you, my producer, Janice and Garrow, can get on the line and put this woman under some kind of control in terms of language. That's number one. Number two, Kobe Bryant purchased a $4 million ring to give to Vanessa, as I'm going to have to believe as some kind of a peace offering and a token of his faithfulness to her. Ms. Dooley is with the Laker Pep Club of Western Estates, California. It's a booster club. It's a fan club. She's saying that because Kobe has given Vanessa this ring, that Vanessa can now forgive Kobe. But the thing that she said that I'm having a problem with, and I tried to argue with her, that even the young lady who was the victim of the alleged rape, even she's smiling right now knowing that Vanessa got her ring, and that she was glad to have been raped, if that's what, I'm stunned. Ms. Dooley, I am stunned.
You are mischaracterizing everything I'm saying.
No, I am stunned that...
Yes, Mr. Hendry, I will not be on your program any longer if you continue to mischaracterize...
Didn't you say that the young lady would be glad she got raped if...
No, I did not say that.
Yes, you... Ma'am, yes, you... Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley is the president of the Laker Pep Club of Western Estates. Ms. Dooley, you were talking about Kobe Bryant buying a $4 million ring for Vanessa, which the news just broke, I think, last night that he did this. And this is a love offering. You're saying that that buys a whole lot of forgiveness and that even the rape victim herself might be vicariously happy for Vanessa.
I did not say that, Phil.
Ma'am, yes you did, but you know what,
No, I did not, and I think it's very slanderous.
All right, hold on. Let's move past this. You've experienced this yourself, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I don't know if you want
to... I want to talk about that. Did your Was your husband unfaithful to you?
First of all, I want to make clear that I am not being interrogated here. I am...
No, ma'am, you're not. I just want to know, your husband was unfaithful to you.
Yes, he was. And in my husband, in my case, my husband had been carrying on a 13-month affair with a young lady.
Who do you know who she was?
No, I don't. She was a ticket taker at the garage where my husband parked his car, where his attorney's office was. And I found out about this. But I'll tell you something, Phil. I did look at my husband, and I looked at him in the way I'm sure Vanessa Bryant looked at her husband.
How did you find out about it? How did you find out your husband was having an affair?
I went to the doctor. I had some burning when I urinated, and I had been infected with a stage 1 syphilis.
Had your husband given this to you?
Yes, he had.
And you have forgiven him why?
I'll tell you why, Phil, and I will tell the women listening who don't get it yet. I know millions of American women do, but for the women that don't, 2 days after I came back, I got my swab at the doctor's office. 2 days later, I found a brand new Porsche 911 in the driveway. And I looked at my husband and I said, that's what I'm talking about. And Steve and I remember we went off, we drove to the doctor's office. I had some penicillin to pick up. And it's really, it has reinvigorated our marriage because he showed me what he was willing to do. And I guess I'm just really emotional.
He bought you a Porsche 911.
Yes, he did.
And then you guys just drove off happily together to the pharmacy to get penicillin for the stage 1 syphilis you had.
And you know something, Phil? There's no way you can make this ugly. Go ahead and make your jokes. You can't make it ugly. You can't ruin my happiness.
I'm not trying to, ma'am. I just want to get the story. 1-800-449-8686. Mary, go ahead.
You know, I think that woman is so far off base. If my daughter was ever raped, I don't care how, if you gave her the $4 million, it wouldn't erase the emotional scar that she's going to have the rest of her life. I don't care what, if you gave it to her, let alone giving it to another woman, she's supposed to excuse that. I mean, how warped is your sense of your own personal worth? Are you worth $4 million? Are you worth a Porsche? I mean, lady, don't you think anything about yourself at all?
All right, Mary,
I mean,
well,
how
Mary,
can you be such a low person?
All right,
I think
Mary,
that
let,
money will
something?
Buy myself worth back.
All right, Mary, well played. You did a very good, you played your role very well. You acted
I did not play a role. I'm a mother of two teenage daughters. And if they ever got raped, the guy would be in jail for the rest of his life. And I don't care how much money he had, it wouldn't make any difference to my daughter.
Very
She's
good,
the
Mary.
One who's scarred. She's the one whose virginity's lost.
Very
not
good,
the
Mary.
Other woman who got the $4 million.
You well
you
played.
You mean money buys everything? What is wrong with you?
Well played, Mary. Very good.
What do you mean,
not well
played?
Well
no, she's going on and on indignantly as if I really believe it. You know
well,
what
I
know.
Do believe it. There's no money in this world that will replace my daughter's virginity. There's
of
no money in this world that will replace how
that.
She feels.
Of course you say that. People expect you to say that. But I want to know
they
what,
don't.
How
they
you feel.
No, they don't. You're a stupid jerk that you're being on the air thinking that money buys everything. I can't believe that you're that shallow. That you, what about the poor woman your husband was having an affair with? Oh, just give her a Porsche, too?
Excuse me.
Money buy everything?
Excuse me. Who do you think my husband got syphilis from? You think that?
Well, if he wouldn't have been screwing around, he wouldn't have it.
Well, this was some slut who was
oh,
a ticket
sure.
taker.
Oh, sure. It's a slut, and your husband is a perfect little angel because he's the one who has the affair. Oh, yeah, she lured him on.
Well,
your
he
husband had nothing to do with
he
it.
He certainly had no intention of giving me syphilis. And
well, yeah, if he would have kept his thing in his pants, he wouldn't have had syphilis.
You know something, Mary? When Steve and I drove to the doctor's office together in that Porsche,
oh,
a
well,
of...
I can tell how shallow you are. I mean, a Porsche does it for you. And I live in a million-dollar home. So, lady, I know what a rock looks like. I have a rock on my finger. But I'll be damned if my husband had an affair that if he gave me the rock I have on my finger right now, I'd forgive him.
Well, I have one question
no,
to ask you. I have one question. Is that a gift?
I feel
was that
a little bit more about myself than you do.
Was that a gift
I
from your husband?
I'm worried
all right, all right.
I wanted to ask her a question.
Go ahead, very quickly.
Was that ring a gift or was that your engagement ring?
It was a Christmas gift for your information.
All right, so who did he have sex with that made
Nobody.
Him feel guilty
My
enough to give you that ring?
Sex outside of our marriage.
Okay.
No,
so that,
he
yeah,
has not
thank
had
you.
Sex outside
well played. Well played, Mary.
Oh,
all
thank
right,
you very
all right.
Much.
All right, Mary, thank you very much. Well played, huh?
Still, there isn't a woman that's going to tell me that a $4 million diamond ring, R-I-N-G, doesn't mean anything. And that woman got a Christmas present of a diamond rock, and she's trying to tell me that her husband gave it to her just because he loves her. Men don't do that. They give gifts like that when they feel an overwhelming sense of guilt for having shattered the bonds of trust. Now, he had sex with someone or something. He doesn't want to tell Mary. That's his business. But Mary, rest assured, somewhere out there was someone smoking a cigarette and thinking of your husband.
Oh, man, you are cruel.
No, I'm...
No, you're cruel. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. $4 million diamond ring would make a woman forget a lot. Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay. Primary syphilis?
Yeah, Steve and I had primary syphilis, right. A very good friend of Steve's had what's called tertiary or late stage syphilis. And that is when it it spreads to the major organs and can lead to a form of dementia, a form of insanity. But fortunately, we caught it on stage one. And yes, I would have been angry. Yes, I would have been very upset. But all of my life, from the time that I was a little girl and my father took me to Riverside Raceway and we saw the Southern California Sports Car Club races, I've always wanted a Porsche 911. And I'll say this to any man listening. If you're going to infect your wife with syphilis, and you know that you need for her to forgive her, for her to forgive you, I should say.
Go out and buy her a Porsche, huh?
If I could finish, please.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'd say that a beautiful gift of a 911 Porsche.
If you don't have a $4 million diamond ring.
Well, Phil, you can be cynical if you want. This is Kobe trying to bring the Laker family back together again. And I, for one, am very proud of him.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Bobby Dooley, the Laker Pep Club of Western Estates, saying that Kobe giving Vanessa a $4 million diamond ring, this is exactly what he needed to do. He did the right thing, and even the young girl in Colorado who may have been raped would be smiling a smile right now.
No, I did not say that.
Yes, you did, and a million of my listeners heard you say that.
Well, Phil, then you misunderstood me.
Well, I don't know how I could misunderstand a comment like that. Allison, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Bobby. I was calling because I'm just so amazed that you would make the comments you did regarding Kobe's wife. First of all, the $4 million diamond was a guilt gift. That's first of all. She is smart enough to know not only should she take the ring, but when she divorces him after the trial is over, she will get 50% of what she has. Of what he has. So that $4 million ring relative to what she will get, that's a drop in the bucket.
Well, but the fact
I mean,
is
that's
she
not worth it. That is not worth it for what he did.
Well, the fact... Wait a minute. You just got done talking about all the money she's going to make, and now you're saying $4 million isn't worth it. I say every penny counts.
No, what I'm saying
is
that $4 million ring does not erase what he did.
Girlfriend, you
he
know
committed
you'd
adultery.
Keep it. You'd keep that ring as much as I would.
Ma'am, you know what? Everything is relative.
I can tell you.
And, you know, depending on the income you're accustomed to. And I'm just telling you, you're wrong. You should not be able to be bought, regardless of the price.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
You should not be able to be bought.
Shoulda, coulda.
That's the bottom line.
I can tell you.
And I think dementia did set in. So you probably need to give back the Porsche and go back to the doctor.
Excuse me, are you saying that I'm still infected with tertiary syphilis? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, the way you sound sounds like it must have spread.
You know something, Allison? I've been. When she shops on Rodeo Drive, guess what happens when Vanessa Gilbert walks, or Vanessa Bryant goes into those stores? Everyone turns and sees that ring.
And that's fine.
You
but you know what? She can buy her off. She can buy herself
fun.
Four more after she divorces him. He doesn't. That gift is just a guilt gift.
I'll never
forget. It's just a guilt gift. I mean, I wouldn't accept it because I could just divorce him and buy my own ring.
You know,
I don't need that ring from him.
You know, that's easy for you to say. I mean, what's a good ring as far as you're concerned? Something with, you know, like an $800 one-carat ring out of the jewelry market?
It doesn't matter.
Look, let's not get into insulting people's income.
It doesn't matter. Everything is relative. My husband can make $60,000 a year and buy me a $5,000 diamond that I will still reject if he can't buy me.
I sat down one morning to have a morning pee. And it almost brought me to my knees, the pain. But when I saw that Porsche...
Okay, look, can we
No, really. It burned...
You really do need help.
Like it was
napalm.
You
really do need help, and I will continue to pray for you. You will be on the prayer list.
I want to ask you a question, girlfriend to girlfriend. Just woman to woman for a moment, all right? I'm sure you've had a flu bug at one time or another in your life. A flu bug, like flu.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And when it came out, it was like napalm, right? That's what...
Okay, I am...
I'm sorry?
I don't want to hear this anymore.
Thank you.
About how it's coming out like napalm.
Thank you.
Thank you for what?
That we are trying to elevate the conversation above and beyond you getting syphilis and your husband buying you a Porsche and everything's all right. Allison, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Shanna, is it? Shanna?
Oh, Shanna.
Shanna,
yeah.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, I just wanted to say, first of all, Bobby, I'm not going to crucify you, and you're right, you're not on trial.
Thank you.
But no matter how you slice it, when you go home, I hope that you rewind this tape and you listen to it, and you will see that the things that you have said are absurd, and there's no way they can be taken out of context. The fact is,
Tell me what I said. Tell me what I said. I'm
listening. You said that I'm sure in some small way, even she, talking about the young lady in Colorado, feels a slight tinge of happiness for Vanessa because a $4 million ring is a beautiful thing. And women to women, we really appreciate these things and that we would really, that no matter what the circumstances, you would kind of have to feel good for Vanessa even if you were the victim.
The victim of what?
The victim of the supposed rape.
Yeah, and you said $4 million.
No, I'm asking this woman, Phil, not you. Because I want to know what she heard.
Okay, you know,
what else did I say?
Please just go home and listen to the tape.
No, I'll tell you what you said.
Yes.
You said $4 million bucks can stop a whole lot of rectal bleeding.
You are a filthy liar.
Liar? I heard. Did she say it or not, ma'am?
You know, I probably missed that part.
It's very convenient for a talk show host to take a woman and to rip her to shreds.
Ma'am, I heard you say that.
And I'm saying you're a liar.
Okay, but listen, I'm sure that getting back to what I think this all started about, you said something about Kobe trying to bring the Laker family back together. I'm sure that his primary concern is more about the Bryant family than it is the Laker family. Or at least it should be. And also, just listening to these statements, I can't help but wonder if I'm on a really strange episode of Saturday Night Live.
You know something? I've had my reputation tarnished here. I've been accused of saying things I never said. I wish I was on Saturday Night Live.
Why?
I wish that, because I've been told...
Ma'am, you said what you said. You said what you said. You even said that you and your husband smiled as you drove off to the doctor's office to get your swab for syphilis because you're in a Porsche.
Listen, I'm a nurse.
You know something? I don't remember ever saying that. I don't remember saying that.
Honestly, I heard you say that. I'm a nurse, and I can tell you that syphilis does not compare to a piece of tin, no matter how much it costs in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I'm the one who had syphilis, not you.
Honey, I've seen people that had it. It ain't pretty.
Yeah.
It doesn't compare to a Porsche 911 in any way, shape, or form.
That's right. The Porsche is better.
Oh, God.
Okay.
You need help.
All right. Listen, thank you.
Okay, go home and listen.
Thanks
to the
a lot,
tape.
Shanna. Brooke, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Brooke?
Yes?
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Yes. I would just like to say, Ms. Dooley,
from what I've heard in this past half hour to 45 minutes. Like, what are we teaching these?
I'm just trying to say that if a man is going to cheat on you or I, Brooke, by God, he better come to the plate carrying a lot of lumber.
So what does this say about the Institute of Marriage? I mean, how does buying a $4 million ring replace the damage, the trust? I mean, Kobe Bryant has a family. I mean, this is the problem with Hollywood. They feel they can buy their way out of everything. I mean, whether or not he is guilty, I mean, this is besides the point.
He's guilty of being unfaithful to his wife.
Completely. And then he lied about that to begin with. So what's not to say that he's lying about this? I mean, no one knows. I mean,
you know,
this is the problem.
The lesson is, marriage can survive. And like I said, Brooke,
really should base your marriage on a horse that your husband bought you. And from that minute on, are you saying that the trust is yourself?
I think Kobe buying Vanessa that ring was this. He was saying this. You know what, honey? I might have enjoyed the sex with that girl, but on average, the sex with you is better. And this proves
it. Can't be that
on average.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a guilt gift. He's practically acknowledging he's guilty. I mean, obviously, if he feels he has to buy his wife this humongous ring, how long has he been with her? And
he's buying her
this jewelry. I mean, this is not
but
a good sign.
But I don't know if you've ever had the experience of getting up and looking back in the toilet and seeing blood. But I have.
That's a personal problem, man. And
but you know
that's
something?
That's horse.
That make.
You know what? You're talking to us about blood and burning.
I mean, if you were in such horrible pain, obviously you can't let go of any of this. So how you were able to still look at your husband and not feel all this stuff?
You want to know how? A Porsche 911. That'll take away an awful lot of burning, and
take away distrust in a relationship. That is something that is built on years of foundation. It just cannot be healed with a Porsche.
Well,
I mean, I just don't...
What would it take for you to open your thighs?
All right, listen, we got to go. Brooke, I appreciate it. I think you made some great comments.
But for a nurse, you don't know what you're talking about.
She's not a nurse. That was the other one.
Oh.
Yeah, get on the page. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm on the page, Brooke. Thank you. And you know something? You're jealous because you don't have a husband that can give you a ring.
Ma'am, you don't know anything about me.
You're jealous. No, you're jealous.
Oh, come on, ladies.
No, she's jealous.
Ladies, please.
So, I'm sorry.
Brooke, why don't you bite me? Because...
Okay, would you grow up, ma'am?
I've been on this program doing everything that I can to try to enhance the Laker image, the greatest basketball organization, and this woman and others have come on, impugned me, said that I have syphilis.
You said you had syphilis.
Ma'am, I'm sure the Lakers are grateful for this conversation.
Said that I had raging gonorrhea sores, that I had running sores.
Static.
And you know something? You're just jealous because I could snap your neck with my thighs. Thank you.
Well, okay.
Okay, I guess that ends that.
Thanks, all.
Meet me.
All right, that was great. That was so adult. It's nice to just kind of kick an hour off with something nice like that. Kobe Bryant gave Vanessa that big $4 million ring, and at least according to that lady, that guest of ours from the Laker Pep Club of Western Estates, hey, $4 million ring eases a whole lot of urinary burning. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, it's always interesting. Every now and again, you got to come on the radio and you got to tell people, you know, about rape, and you have to remind them, or maybe they never knew it in the first place. You know what it is, because I don't think people are dumber about a crime than they are about rape. I mean, you talk about dumb, man. We hit the all-time rock bottom low when it comes to trying to figure out what the hell rape is, because already. What's been going on over the last 3, 4, 5 days is what has traditionally happened to rape victims. She caused it. She's a slut. She's a star chaser. She's a star screwer. How dare she? Kobe Bryant, what a sweetheart. What a great guy. He got her a $4 million ring. She's going to screw up the season. She's going to screw up this. She's going to screw up that. She's going to have Phil Jackson back in a hospital bed before you can say lickety split. He's going to have a shunt coming out of his face. they're going to be pumping, you know, whatever they put into those heart attack victims. What does he need? What's he need? What do they call that stuff? That's nitrous glycerin? I thought that was the stuff that blew a freaking city block up. You pump that into your chest and that's supposed to make you feel better? You can take a whole town off the map. No kidding. So that's the ignorance that surrounds rape. And please, whatever you do, don't turn to sports talk radio or sports journalism to explain it. Because the guys that make their living playing that trade are so stupid it breaks all records when it comes to that. As far as they're concerned, the only thing they're interested in is that Kobe get back on the floor so the Lakers can go for another ring. I got your ring swinging. What do you think of that, Laker fans? Hey, Laker fans. I'll tell you something right now. Chick Hearn is spinning in his grave. He's spinning in his grave. He's flipped over and he's face down. Actually, I don't know. Maybe he ain't face down. Maybe he's afraid Kobe's going to sneak up on him if he's face down. Chick's probably, you know, he's straight up. He wants to see what's coming at him. He is spinning in his tomb right now. Sick to his stomach. Ready to puke his guts up over what's happening right now. Let me tell you what rape is. Rape is the uninvited, unwanted, resisted, it's violence, and all of those marvelous things put together against women. It's not sex. Why do I say that? Well, some guys rape women with bottles. They rape them with screwdrivers. They rape them with all kinds of objects, wrench handles. If you call that sex, well, have a good time. Have fun. And when she says she doesn't want it, means she doesn't want it. And some guys are so thick, this is what they say. Well, she said she didn't want it, but then she did say she wanted it. Then she... Tell you what, goober, if she's doing that to you, get up and leave. Get up and leave. If you've got any manhood left, just get up and leave. Just leave the broad there. If she's some kind of a head case, if she's screwing with your head, just leave her where you found her. Now, apparently this kid went to a party at some kid's house. We got a phone call into this kid, by the way, this Steve, whatever the hell his name is. He said she was bragging about how big Kobe was. So what? So what if she was? What's that got to do with anything? Doesn't have anything to do with whether she was raped or not. Maybe she was nervous. Maybe she was hysterical. Maybe she didn't say it at all. Maybe this kid's a lying sack of crap. How do we know? That's number one. By the way, I know we're on in Denver. We have an affiliate in Denver, so I hope this is getting into Eagle tonight. So whatever turd was that had that party and was blathering his big fat trap to the local newspaper, maybe he'll think twice. Maybe she said a lot of stuff. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Kobe Bryant better get on his hands and knees. I'm telling you, forget about him. You all better hope he didn't do this. You Laker fans out there, you better pray to the God of your parents' choice that he didn't do this. Because if he did, I won't personally stop until he does every bit of time that Mike Tyson did, and then some. And I'd like to see it as, I hope it's hard time. Maximum security time. I heard that guy Bruce McDonald on the radio the other day. How'd he get away with going to Lompoc? They should have put him in San Quentin. Thief. Freaking thief. Guy's up there at the country club. You gonna stick Kobe Bryant up there? You stick him hardcore, hard time. When he comes out, you won't recognize him. So you want to kid around about it. You want to make a few jokes. You want to have a couple of giggles about, hey, it is broad this, and she said this, and she said that. And you know something? We're talking about rape. You should only hope it doesn't happen to your own sister or mother. But I guess for a lot of you guys, if it was Kobe that raped your sister or mother, well, that'd be okay as long as he, got you some season tickets? So you could sit behind the bench? Talk about being bought off cheap. Jesus, some of you people, man, some of you Laker fans, you're being made fun of. They're buying your ass cheap with this story. But as you know, and as you probably can well imagine, we are not done with it, not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.